I just want to read something really quick. A part of the story of Gideon from Judges 7. We all kind of know the backstory. Gideon was, you know, struggling with being called of God to do the things of God. But it was God's faith in Gideon, the person that he called, that was the difference in this whole story. Early in the morning, Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all his men camped at the spring of Herod. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Morah. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, into their hands, or Israel would boast against me. My own strength has saved me. Now announce to the army, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead." So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, "There are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will thin them out for you there. If I say, 'This one shall go with you,' he shall go. But if I say, 'This one shall not go with you,' he shall not go." So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, "Separate those who lap the water with their tongues as a dog laps from those who kneel down to drink." 300 of them drank from cupped hands, lapping like dogs. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home." So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites home, but kept the 300, who took over the provisions and trumpets of the others. Now the camp of Midian lay below him in the valley. During that night, the Lord said to Gideon, "Get up, go down against the camp, because I am going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Pura and listen to what they are saying. Afterward, you will be encouraged to attack the camp." So he and Pura, his servant, went down to the outpost of the camp. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the other eastern peoples had settled in the valley thick as locusts. Can you imagine that? Just close your eyes for a second. It's pitch black except for this enormous mass of army. All their fires lit. The clamor of even people sleeping, it's thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of warriors. They're not a quiet bunch. Gideon arrived just as could no more be counted than the sand on the seashore. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. "I had a dream," he was saying. "A loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed." His friend responded, "This can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands." When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed down and worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, "Get up! The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands." Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them with torches inside. "Watch me," he told them. "Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, men from all around the camp, blow yours and shout for the Lord and for Gideon." Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch. Just after they had changed the guard, they blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars, grasping the torches in their left hands and holding in their right hands the trumpets they were to blow. They shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. The army fled to Beth Shittah towards Zerera, as far as the border of Abel Meholah near Tebeth. The Lord is great inside us. Physical numbers is not what God requires to do great things. And that's not to say that there's not supposed to be more people here. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that this morning, we are here. We are here for God. We are here for each other. When we praise and worship this morning, when Pastor delivers the word, when we interact, when the Holy Spirit flows, speak with God's greatness from within. Even though Gideon was fearful, if he did not obey and have the faith to deliver what God told him, which was only a couple of lines, and he shouted those lines when it was the right time, This morning, when we praise and worship, just worship from your hearts and know that God's greatness fills us, fills this place, fills our words. He's an awesome God. Amen.
Thanks for reading that. Here's a divine coincidence. Yesterday, doing my devotion Saturday morning, that's exactly the scripture that I was reading. And the reason I started to read it was because in 1990, Kim Clement, all of you know who he was, a great prophet, came here and didn't know anything about our church, and he used that scripture. And he said to us that the spirit of Gideon and the spirit of the 300 is upon this church. Believe in God, believe in his prophets, we prosper. I believe that what he said was the truth, and that the spirit of Gideon and the 300 is still upon this church. And it will remain on us to accomplish whatever God wants us to do. The thing about Gideon was that God said to him, "Oh, a mighty man of valor." And when the angel of the Lord came to him, he was hiding, threshing out wheat under a wine press so that the Midianites would not see him nor come and steal his food. So he was full of fear. But a word from God could change that. "Oh, mighty man of valor." So the spirit of Gideon is a spirit of valor and might. I'm just going to speak that to you right now, because if God would say it and repeat it through a prophet to us, then it is true. There's a spirit of might and valor upon all of you. Persistence, overcoming. We're going to teach this morning, too, about, not right now, but after we sing and praise God, about confidence, courage, and cowardice. How to have one and avoid the other. Okay? It's a good way to start the year. The Lord was just really encouraging me to speak and teach on those things. How many of you want to have more confidence this coming year? Well, God's got a recipe for you, and it will work. So I'm looking forward to sharing that with you. Praise God. And thank you, Mike, for being sensitive to the Lord. I wasn't going to say anything until you read that scripture. So God bless you for your obedience.
God is amazing. In the prayer room, we prayed against passivity, against discouragement, and against unbelief. And we prayed that a lot of us are under attack. We have been under attack because we are about to go to a new level. We've come through the years 10 through 19, and we're going to go up to the next decade, the 20s. So that is a breakthrough. When we go from 1 to 9 and then we go into 20, that's a breakthrough. But the kingdom of God is being resisted, because we have to enter that kingdom and make progress through tribulation. That's the resistance of the enemy, right? And his job is to take us out, to make us stop, to make us passive, to make us discouraged, to make us afraid, to make us just doing nothing. But the kingdom of God suffers violence. That's the enemy doing stuff. But the violence in us takes it by force. And that scripture is that, you know, there's another scripture that says we seize what God seized for us. We seize it by force. So in that scripture, it says we see, it's twice. It's the number 726, to seize by force. We seize it by force by seizing it by force. So that's what Pastor's talking about, and that's what we want to do. We want to put down all passivity. We renounce all passivity, all discouragement, all unbelief, because we are a violent people, and we are bringing in the kingdom, and we go forth in that kingdom spirit of violence and conquering, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. One thing the Spirit of the Lord was saying is that it's not the size of any congregation or body, it's the size of the Lord that makes the difference. And the question before you is, how big is your God? How big am I to you? How big am I in your life? How big am I through your life? How big am I to your life? For I am all in all. I fill all things. I fill the body of Christ. My fullness dwells throughout the whole body of Christ. And yet it is up to you to believe for that fullness to come through you. All of you, each of you. These are the things I want you to focus on as this year unfolds. To begin to realize the power of the presence of your God. And not the power of yourself. There is no comparison between the two. Come to understand this, and you will see your life change this year and onward, says the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Bear witness to that? I want to make a comment about the scripture in Matthew 11 about the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by storm. Sometimes the translators use the words that they would like to use to emphasize something. And the truth of the matter is this. The kingdom of God here on the earth is suffering violence. That violence is the pressure, the stress, the assault of the world and the worldly kingdoms, the powers in the heavens that belong to Satan to minimize the kingdom of God on the earth. And the other part of that scripture says, but the violent take it by force. Well, the word violent there doesn't mean violent like some fanatic. It means energetic. It means energized. The energized by God hold on to the kingdom of God and press it forward. That's what it means. Just to clarify that. This is going to be a year where your prayer life is going to change from little to large, because God is going to put, by allowing things to happen to you, you know God allows things to happen to us? By allowing things to happen to you that are going to draw you to His throne, where the only thing you can do is pray, and you will pray. Sometimes the best way to learn how to pray is simply to keep praying. Until you find out that prayer is the best thing that you can do. So this is a call upon the church. So I just pray right now, Heavenly Father, I know this is true for us as individuals. We take a pass many times and not pray because we think we can get by, that everything will work out okay, that we just maybe ignore some situations and it'll turn out all right. Or maybe we read a scripture and hope in that for a little bit. But the truth of the matter is God is going to cause us to pray today and tomorrow and throughout the coming year like never before. For He's calling us to understand this. When He said to the disciples who asked Him, Lord, teach us to pray, He said, pray this. Pray the kingdom of God come. And that means that it must be prayed into your life daily and through your life daily. And the more you pray, the more the kingdom comes. The kingdom in all of its power, its presence, its purpose, its promises, its victories, its healings, its deliverances, its salvations. All of it comes more and more through prayer. And without prayer, you're missing the power to bring it into your life. The Lord is saying to us today, learn this every day as you come to me in my throne room. Pray as you've never prayed before, and you will see my kingdom manifest more in your life. Amen to that. Amen. Amen. Shout hallelujah if you'd like. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is a year of activation. Great activation. Well, this morning I'm going to teach you something about confidence, courage, and cowardice. Those things are polar opposites, as you know. And you can only have one or the other in your life. You'll either be confident and courageous, or you'll be cowardice in the face of things that you encounter throughout your life. I'd like you to turn to Joshua chapter 1. One of the things I'm going to help clear up for you today is this. A lot of us have confidence in other people. You have confidence in leaders. You have confidence in ministers. And you're glad that you can have confidence in them. It makes you feel comfortable that you can rely on somebody who is confident. Isn't that true? Many of you have confidence in me, more than you should. Why? Not because you shouldn't have confidence in me, but to have more confidence in me that eliminates your confidence in yourself is wrong. And I'm not talking about self-confidence. That belongs in the world. I'm talking about a confidence that comes from God. And if you are going to move in the things of God this coming year, if there's going to be more activation of your spiritual life, if you're going to move in the gifts of the Spirit, if you're going to become, as Joel was talking about, spiritual people, then you're going to have to move into confidence and courage. Or another year will pass by, and you'll watch others do things that you should be doing. Isn't that true? How many of you are going to lose your future because you're afraid to do the things that God is showing you you can do? Are you going to lose another year that you didn't do the things that God was showing you to do because you're afraid? Because you lost your courage. You should never have courage in yourself or confidence in yourself, because that belongs to the world. Our confidence is in God. Not that he will do things for you always, but that he will do things through you always. He fills all in all. So here we are in Joshua chapter 1. Here's the dilemma. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, who had served Moses. Let me stop and just share this with you. Joshua was a spiritual son. Let's call him that. He had a spiritual father, Moses. Of all the people in all the camp of Israel, Joshua followed Moses. When everybody else would go back to their tents and Moses would go out to the tent of the Lord, Joshua would follow him. He would draw upon Moses' life. He saw the confidence that Moses developed, the courage that he had, the way he led the people through the wilderness. Moses was a champion. Joshua liked that about him. He loved that about him. He wanted to experience those things. And we should all have leaders. Here's what it says in Philippians 4. The Apostle Paul is admonishing the Philippian church. And he says to them, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, and if there is any praise, dwell on those things." Then he says this, "Do what you have learned, received, heard, and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you." That's Philippians 4:9. So the responsibility I have is to be an example to you, so that the things that I share with you, the things that you've learned from me, received from me, heard of me, and seen in me, do. And the God of peace is with you. I'm not supposed to do everything. Pastors, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, they equip you to do the things you're supposed to do. The day is coming when there's going to be multiple ministry far beyond what we are experiencing already. When we gather together, there'll be more life of the Spirit flowing through us than we have experienced up to this point. And I say to your praise, God bless you for how far you have come and how much move of the Spirit you allow through this, through our times when we meet together. You're wonderful, but you have not achieved or come to the place where God wants you to be yet. There is more. Much, much more. Immediately, I can feel some of you tense up like, oh my God, I don't know if I could do it. No, you can't. Whatever you see me do, I do because the Lord is in me doing it. I'm no different than you. Look at me. Look at me. I face the same fears, trials, and worse than you because of the example I'm supposed to give and the responsibilities I have. I will face more pressures than you. Why? Because the enemy wants to take me out. Simple as that. Wanted to take Moses out. Wanted to take Jesus out. Wanted to take the apostles out. It's all part of the game. But your trials are just as important to you, just as hard for you. But if I can be of any example to you, any benefit to you, what you have learned from me, heard from me, seen in me, and watched in me, those are the things you're supposed to do. I'm not assigned to do everything. I'm assigned to teach you, to illustrate, to be an example, to encourage, to equip, to furnish, to bring healing to you. And above all, trust in God, because I don't do this because I was born with certain extraordinary powers. I wasn't. Just like you, flesh and blood. Called by God, graced by God to do what I do, but all by God and not by Greg Manali. So let's go back to Joshua. Verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. That's pretty profound. I mean, this guy was leading 3 million people in the desert. He was their everything. He stood against Pharaoh. He threw down his staff, turned it into a snake, hit a rock, caused water to come out of it, had manna come out of heaven, food falling from the heavens. This was Moses. He's dead. The question is now, what are you going to do, Joshua? That's a fearful thing, isn't it? But God was speaking to him. Moses was his example. He watched him. He followed him. Now, he says, now you. Isn't that a great word? Can you imagine how he tensed up? Huh? Can you feel him, everything in his body just puckering up? Now you, Joshua, now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land I'm giving the Israelites. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses. Your territory will be from the wilderness and Lebanon to the great Euphrates River, and all the land of the Hittites, and west to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses, and I will not leave you or forsake you. So the solution was that God was with Moses, and God was in his leadership. He was working with him, anointing him. And now God is saying to Joshua, I'm going to be with you the same way I was with Moses. And I'm saying to you, whatever you see in me that you think is mighty in me, it's God. And if God is in me, the same way God is in me, he is in you. And he will do through you whatever he wants you to do. It's time. It's time to cross over. It's time to cross over. It's time to move ahead. It's time. We can't gather in our meetings and not let the Holy Spirit move through you. When he says, I want you to do something, you're going to be able to do it because he's going to do it in you. There are powers of God that are left on the tree, not picked. Fruits of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, because we're waiting on somebody else. No more. So, my question to you is, do you just trust in the confidence that you see in other people and you feel that they are superior, special, called, gifted, graced, and that you're not? And that you're afraid you cannot have their confidence? You think, like the world does, that you have to build yourself up somehow or another. You're going to develop your confidence? I want you to know, you cannot develop your own confidence. You'll never have enough. You'll always fail. You're destined to fail. You are failing. You will constantly fail if you trust in the arm of the flesh.
Jeremiah 17:5 says, cursed is the man who trusts in the arm of the flesh. We are, as Joe said, spiritual beings empowered and filled with the Spirit of God. And we are supposed to move in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. We cannot just keep on keeping on the way we've been. It's time. Take a deep breath. God is with you. He's challenging you today to trust Him, not yourself. And not to be afraid. God, people like to quote things like, God uses the ordinary to do the extraordinary. It's good to quote it, but when will you live it? Huh? We say things like that. Well, ordinary, God is going to do the extraordinary through you. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Power. This world needs to see the power of God. Not just an argument. Right now, you know what's happening in the United States. If the liberals could, they would crush the Christian faith altogether because it opposes their agenda. You cannot have man and God. You're going to have either God or man, but you can't have both. You can't have man's ways and God's ways. One or the other will prevail. It's as simple as that. It's been known, in fact, it was reported, I was watching the news this morning, and several times this past week, Christianity is under the biggest assault it has had in 100 years. Christians are being assaulted all over the world and killed in record numbers. Persecuted, beheaded, set on fire, murdered, slaughtered, their women raped. And here in the United States, there are people who do not want Christ anywhere in their lives. And he who sits in the heavens laughs. Why do the heathen rage? Because he wants to save them. The very enemies of his own son, Jesus Christ, are the people that our God wants to save. And our weapons are not to fight them with anger and hatred, but to bring the kingdom to them with all of its power and glory. When I encounter strangers who are not Christians, do you know what my heart does? It says, oh God, show me how you want to reveal yourself to them. I don't think, oh, what am I going to say? What will I do? Oh, do you want me to give them a scripture? No, I say, God, in me, show me what you want to do to reveal yourself to them. So the pressure's off me. It's all on God. The problem is you're not doing that. The problem is you're not doing that in the world. You shrink from the world, and God is calling you into it. So that you can be the influence in it. We don't run from darkness. Light overpowers darkness. Truth overwhelms deceptions and lies. People are sitting in darkness. They need to see a great light. Do not run from the world. Run into it. That was the word of Jesus. He said, go into all the world. Do not run from it. I knew a man quit a job, high-paying job, making a lot of money supporting his family. I said, why'd you quit your job? He said, well, the men cursed and had dirty pictures. I said, what did you expect of them? What? He said, I couldn't stand to be around the cursing. Jesus went out with those guys. That's what he did. He went into the taverns with them. You don't think they had nice language? Rough, crude, cheating, foul, fornicators, adulterers, thieves. You think they talk nice? My Lord, what are we afraid of? Remember, everybody puts their pants on one leg at a time. Nobody jumps into them in the morning. Nobody's Superman. But we do have a super God, and He dwells in us. When the Lord said to Joshua, be strong and courageous, he said to him this, Joshua, I want you to be obstinate in your mind. I want you to be stubborn. I want you to have such a strength in your mind. See, courage is not a physical force. Courage is a mental force. Courage is in your mind.
when your mind is realizing that everything you do because of the power of God in you, then you will have a lot of courage. But if in your mind you think, well, I don't know that I could do this because I don't know if I have the ability or if I'll do this or that, and you start to dumb yourself down because you're thinking of courage as something like self-confidence that you can build up, no. God delights to take the foolish, the weak, and to fill them with his power and his courage and his confidence. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Don't quote it if you're not going to live it. That's what courage is. And God said to Joshua, who no doubt was shaking in his boots, he said to him, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. And God is saying to you today, the same way you see God in great leaders, Reinhard Bonnke, who just passed away and went to be with the Lord, was one of the greatest evangelists the world has ever known and spent decades evangelizing Africa, bringing millions to the Lord. We look at people like him or any other great leader and we say, oh, thank you, God, for them, that they're forging a way and they're doing this. But you see, those are just commanders of an army. The army succeeds because the infantry is successful. And that's you. And that's me. That's us, the little people. Don't be afraid to consider yourself little and small. In fact, God told Israel, he said, I didn't choose you because you were the greatest. I chose you because you were small and insignificant so that I could be mighty in you. Remember that. That is the paradox of our faith. God delights to fill us who are weak with his fullness and his strength so that he gets the glory. Not that he's seeking glory, but because he is worthy of the glory in your life and mine. Well, sometimes we lose our confidence, our trust in God. I'd like you to turn to Isaiah chapter 30. And why does that happen? Why is it that we go from a period of time where we're trusting and walking with the Lord to a period of time where we've lost our trust or our confidence? In Isaiah 30, the prophet Isaiah is rebuking Israel. You can read it on your own. He's rebuking Israel because they had put their trust in Egypt, which had strong armies, and they were looking for them to provide their covering, their strength and protection. And so the Lord says to them in verse 15, for the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, you will be delivered by returning and resting. Your strength will lie in quiet confidence. Meaning, they had lost their confidence in their walk with the Lord and had turned to Egypt. And he said, if you return, get out of there, get out of trusting and having confidence in them. When you return, here's what's going to happen. You'll be delivered. Your strength will come back. You hear this? You will be able to rest in quiet confidence. Whenever you make any other alliance other than God, your purpose for strength, your place of refuge, your trust, whenever you turn from the Lord and go towards these other, whatever they are, you will lose the confidence that you have in God. You can't have confidence in two things. Even if you go to a doctor for medical reasons, my help is still in God, who can work through the doctor, not just in the doctor. Isn't that true? Yes. It should always be that God can use. Last week, Brenda shared some wonderful things when she talked about God has solutions, will come through to you in unexpected way, through unexpected people, at unexpected times and places. But it'll always be God. Praise his name. Do you have things right now that you're asking God for? Situations, finances, health, situations, work, whatever, family. And of course, when you are trusting God or asking him for help in these areas, you imagine how he's going to do it, don't you? Perhaps he could do it this way or that way or another way. But I tell you what, the ways of God are limitless. They're unbounded. They can happen anyway. And God wants to show himself in unexpected ways to you. He wants to surprise you and bless you and love you. And he will do that. So the formula here is this. We got to return. If you are trusting in your work, trusting your bank account, trusting your investment, trusting in, I don't know, you name it. If your hope is in all those things, get out of that. Pull yourself out of it now. Return back to the Lord. This is your remedy to get your trust and your confidence back. Return, repent, extract yourself from whatever forces or sources that now you are trusting in. Rest, which means to calm yourself down. Because you know what happens when you are anxious about your future? You get so agitated, you lose your peace, you have no rest, your mind is constantly going. And what you need to do is say, I'm out of there. I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to trust in that. I'm not going to try to figure a way out. I'm not going to try to figure a way up. I'm not going to try to figure a way how. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to think about those people who could help or that situation that could be my solution. No, I'm extracting myself from that. I'm pulling back from that. I'm going to sit down, actually, both physically and mentally. I don't want to be agitated. I'm tired. I'm not resting. I'm not sleeping. I'm thinking about this all the time. Isn't that what happens to you? You go to bed at night, and it's amazing how all of a sudden the problems of your life pop up just when you're ready to go to sleep. How many of you experience that? The minute you go to bed to rest, all of a sudden your mind goes, whoa, warp speed, and it's taking off with all these situations. When God wants you to rest and trust him and let him restore confidence by your confidence being in him, that's the recipe. True God confidence will give you courage. You'll be courageous. Only be courageous and strong is what God told Joshua. Only be courageous and strong. He also told him to meditate in the word of the Lord day and night and not let it depart. Why? Why? So he could know the word? No, so that the word would give him comfort from an agitated mind that would run down courses of fear, alleys of threat, highways of assault mentally. And many of you have tried to build yourself up by reading the Word of God. If the Word of God does not bring you to the God of the Word, something's missing. Because our trust is not in what we can memorize, but in the one who gave you the Word to put your eyes on it in the first place. God Almighty. Do you know that Abraham didn't have a Bible? He only heard him a couple times. And he listened to him as God told him, do this, go there. And that's what we need again. That's where our confidence will come back to us. Then you'll be strong and you'll do exploits. Period. Period. Little you and little me. Praise his holy name. Your strength will grow. Your confidence will grow. Your rest will come. Your peace will increase. Take a deep breath. Some of you need to be really freed, liberated from the stress of what you're going through right now in your daily life. This is going to be a great year for you. You're going to be courageous as God walks in you and through you, with you daily. It's going to be a powerful year for you. You're not going to be intimidated by the world. You are the solutions to the desperate, to the lost, to the needy, to those who sit in darkness, to the sinner. Praise God that there are still sinners, because if there weren't, we wouldn't have anything to do. You are the personal rescue servant of God to the lost. Don't be afraid of them or their arguments or their ignorance. Speak the truth in love. Let God move through you. Everybody is sick. Do you know that? Everybody's sick in the world. And if they aren't sick, the advertisers will make them sick. They'll start to think they're sick just watching the advertisements.
So know this. God will reveal to you what's going on in their lives physically. Don't try to rebuttal them. Tell them what God shows you about them. By asking a question. How are you feeling? How are things going in your life? How are your kids? How's your marriage? Because now what you're doing is you're touching them at the source of their lives. And that's a place where you have answers for them that they don't have. That's the place where God is going to say, lay your hands on that person's back. Prophesy to them what I tell you to say. Say what I tell you to say to them. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? This works. This is God's way. Paul said it. The things that you've received from me, learned of me, heard from me, seen in me, do those things. That's the process. That's how we walk in our lives. That's how we have courage and confidence. And that's how we defeat all the assaults of our minds and our lives. All the cowardice that causes us to shrink back from doing the things that God wants us to do. Praise his holy name. Now, I'm going to give you one last scripture this morning. Hebrews 10, verse 36. So, don't throw away your confidence, meaning the confidence that God has given you by his presence in you. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore God with you. Don't ignore his presence. Do you hear what I said? Do not ignore his presence. Without your acknowledging his presence, you won't have his power. Don't ignore his presence. Why would you want to walk alone? Why would you want to leave the house? You know the last words of Jesus? You know what the last words of Jesus are? The last words of Jesus were, don't go anywhere without the power of the Holy Spirit. That was his last words. You just read that in Luke 24. Don't go anywhere. Don't leave your house. Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere without acknowledging the presence of the Holy Spirit. Don't go anywhere. Wait. Be assured of your acknowledgement of the presence of God in you. Wait. Don't go anywhere. Do you hear what God is saying to you today? Don't go anywhere. Wait. Wait. The great promise of Israel was the coming of the Holy Spirit, not just the Messiah, but the reality that the Spirit of God would not rest just on a few prophets, but on all the people. Don't go anywhere. Don't leave your house. Don't rush out into the world. Don't rush out to your job. Don't rush out to entertainment. Don't rush out anywhere without the Holy Spirit. Of course, he's with you all the time. But what is missing is our acknowledgement of him. Don't go anywhere. Make sure you're aware. Become sensitive so that he can lead you and guide you. He can show you things to come. He can tell you about the day. He can prepare you. He can be with you when you need him. He'll give you the answers and the solutions. He'll be your power. He'll be present in you. Don't go anywhere. And it says in Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, that after the Holy Spirit fell upon them, they went everywhere. All of them went everywhere preaching and sharing the gospel and doing great and marvelous things. And he took ordinary people, uneducated people, filled them with his spirit and power, and they did magnificent things, just like you. You are the same people, as rough as Peter, fishermen, unskilled laborers, whatever's. And the difference is his presence. It's a great equalizer. Overpowers darkness. Greater than Satan. Yes, greater than Satan. He who is in you, right, is greater than he who is in the world. As we go into this new year, these are the things that God wants foremost in your minds. This will be a great year for you. You will have more challenges. Because just like Jesus said in Matthew, the kingdom of God is going to suffer violent people coming against it. But the energetic, and that word energize is energio, the same word that we use sometimes to relate to the powers of the Holy Spirit. The energies of God will be in you to hold on to the kingdom of God and to advance it. And to advance, everywhere you go, you advance the kingdom by your presence with God in you and the works that God will do through you. Look at yourself this way. Wherever you go, God is with you. So that when you step into a room filled with unbelievers, you and God are the majority. Your light will dispel the darkness. If you're acknowledging his presence in you, you can change the spiritual environment. People will stop doing what they're doing, stop saying what they have been saying, because somebody has come into the room with you. That's the way God wants you to live. You don't want to make friends with the world so that they like you. You want to make friends with the world so that they love the Lord. Isn't that true? That's where it's going to be this year for you. Remember this. You take care of his business that he sent you on, and he will what? Take care of your business. That means your finances. If there's anything that's going to assault you, it will be your finances. It will be your health. It will be your future. You'll begin to look ahead and say, oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Well, you've made it this far, haven't you? How? God. He's going to take you through. Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. I don't know where to cut this off. I sense the Holy Spirit really wants to dig deep into you and encourage you today and restore your confidence in him, not in your weaknesses. Don't think about them. If you think about your weaknesses, praise God, I'm weak here because Christ can fill it up. Amen. Remember what Moses said to the Lord? When the Lord said to him, I want you to go to Pharaoh and talk to him. He said, I can't talk well. Good, he said. I'll fix that. Do you know he had a speech impediment? So he had Aaron help him and speak for him. God wants to do great things this year with you, through you. He loves you so much, cares for you, has plans for you, has a destiny for you. Ephesians 2:10 tells us this, that there are works that God has before ordained, even before this world, before you came into it, he determined there would be works that you would do, that you would accomplish. There's a whole list of them, a whole catalog of them. He's just waiting for you to step into them, and he will be with you to do them. Ephesians 2:10, read it for yourself. First of all, he saved you by his grace, and then he has a determined plan. All kinds of works, great works for you to do. That you should walk in them, it says. That you should walk in them. And you will. And you will. Do you want to be a nice guy this year or a godly person? Choose this day. You want the world to like you, or do you want them to know Jesus Christ through you? You don't want to be friends with the world. You want to love the world so that they come to know Christ. And I don't mean emotional love. The love that God has is not with emotion and feeling. It's not a goody-goody feeling love, like the confused people of the world. God's love is intentional, determined, with a plan and a purpose, and his will is behind it. It is predetermined decision. It has no emotion with it. None whatsoever. It has no feeling attached to it. It has purpose. That's his love. That's why he could send Jesus to the cross. That's how he loved the world. He had an intentional purpose to save the world, not because he felt gushy about the lost. And so he's still going to use you in the same way. He has an intention. He's going to work through you. Well, let's pray. Lift your hearts and your hands to God. Tell him, thank you, Lord. Thank you for delivering me from my fears and from my threats and from my feelings of inadequacies and my cowardice and my failures and disappointments in myself and
and only looking at others and saying, well, thank God that they could do it, and making excuses like, well, they're called to do that, I'm not called. Don't say these things anymore. Say, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. The enemy has lied to me, and I've accepted lies. And I have actually fabricated excuses for not doing what I should do and being fearful. Forgive me for that, Lord. I remember this. That man, Joshua, when his leader died, now was faced with the challenge of taking 3 million people across the Jordan. And God said to him one thing, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Only be strong and courageous. And the courage and the strength came from his presence. Remember that about yourself. Because you're going to face many Jordan crossings this year. And you're going to want to have the courage of God's presence, his power. Your trust will be in him, not in yourself. If you think about your weakness, say, praise God, I have a weakness that you can fill. Praise God that I'm weak there, that I might be strong because of you. Praise God when I don't know what to say, you will give me the words. Praise God when I don't know what to do, you will show me because you'll lead me and guide me. Praise God for your everything. You are my life, O God. You are my life, O God. For me to live and to move and have my being is because of you. Is that true? Is that true? Is that true? Tell them that. This is going to be an extraordinary year for you. Praise his holy name. And the enemy will not threaten you anymore. Every time he tells you you're weak and little and no account and can't do anything and look at your life, etc., you say to him, that's changing. God is in me now, and greater is he who's in me than you who are in the world. Praise his holy name. This will be a great year of salvation to rescue many people who are living in darkness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah, I heard the Lord just say something to me. He said, stop thinking about yourself so much and think about me. Not what you can't do and why you're in this dilemma, but think about me. Think about me. Is that a word or not? That's a word. Think about me. Stop thinking about yourself. Think about me. It's not about you. It's about him. Okay? Hallelujah. Well, it's going to be a great year. Let's stand and give God praise. Thank him. Father, we want to thank you for 2019. You are amazing, God. We stand here today because of you. Because you have been our life. And we look to 2020 and we say, God, you will be our life in 2020 and beyond. You're everything to us. Everything to me, to my family. Everything to this congregation, to this body. Everything to the church. Fill us, O God, with your presence. Remind us of how much we enjoy your presence. Because when we are full acknowledging your presence, we are full of joy. But when we think on other things and think about ourselves, we lose our joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. We look forward to this coming year. We are not afraid. We are not afraid of what the world is saying, the turmoil it's going through, the threats it brings against our God. But we are happy that we can be the solution to so many lives this coming year. And to one another, as your powers and your gifts move through us to each other. We give you praise for that. Hallelujah. Thank you for our health. Hallelujah. Thank you for our wealth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know, listen to this. Do you know when God sent out the disciples to evangelize? And they had to go out, you know, and preach the gospel. He said to them, he didn't say, prepare yourself, pack your bags, get some money saved up, take some food with you. He said, don't take anything. I don't want you to trust in anybody because you who are going to do my will, I will supply you. Amen. I will supply you. Yes.
If I send you out to build something, I will give you the materials to build it. You're never going to have to go out by yourself, empty-handed. He said, don't worry about those things. Can you imagine that? He said, all right, I want you to go now, and don't take any money with you. I have people begging me for money all the time. Who does that anymore? We got this thing upside down, don't we? So God is going to provide for you. Yes, amen. 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 He's going to provide for you one way or another. Hallelujah. So you won't have to fear. Thank you, Jesus. Today is a day of wonderful deliverance, of hope and excitement about your future. The past is the past. The best days are ahead. Beginning today. Amen. Amen. God bless you and thank you. Amen.